This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron. So once again, we find ourselves confronting the saga of William Perry Penley, a man whose nomination was so controversial it was withdrawn before the Senate could even consider it, who's now a big fixture in two big Senate races out west, Colorado and Montana, but who has also signed an order giving himself the authority of director despite all of that. Did I summarize that correctly, guys?
Yes.
Sounds like.
And despite all of the drama that surrounded this nomination and eventual withdrawal, we haven't heard the end of Penley's controversial time at BLM.
If this is allowed to go through, if he's allowed to, you know, kind of stay there and keep, you know, doing stuff, you're going to see more and more extreme folks getting put into these agency heads. It'll just be like, if we don't need to win anybody in the Senate, what's the point? Put the most, you know, red meat person we can find in there and run wild on it. So this really is kind of a precedent, and we'll be watching what the courts have to say about it.
Today, Politico's Ben LaFabe and Kelsey Tamburino on how Penley's role at the Bureau of Land Management could fundamentally reshape who runs the federal agencies. It's Friday, August 28th, and I'm Anthony Adragna. So, this, obviously, there are several lawsuits that are challenging the nomination now. What are people telling you, experts telling you, about the potential legal risks by having Penley stay on after the nomination has been withdrawn?
Yeah, so some of the experts that I talked to basically said that they don't believe that the succession order that William Perry Penley signed himself, designating himself as the authority of director at BLM, you know, they think that's on legal shaky footing. And the fact that his overall authority is being challenged by, you know, in two separate lawsuits, they say that this could pose a risk for anything that William Perry Penley has done while atop the agency. So any orders he signed, anything like that, they think there's potential that, you know, other environmental groups could sue depending on the outcome of those lawsuits.
And do we have a sense for how many things Penley has signed while he's been atop the agency? And has he been involved in any of the, you know, highest tier rulemakings?
That's been kind of the more difficult question to answer. His name has not appeared on any kind of, you know, high tier item coming out of Interior. But what folks have said is there may be other things that he has signed that have to do more with the day-to-day operation of the Bureau of Land Management. And this would be things like those orders that basically scattered a bunch of senior career officials to the four winds and, you know, things that had to do with moving the BLM headquarters to Colorado. But even then, folks said that if there's no clear reason why a particular interior person signed off on something that would have been Penley's kind of jurisdiction in the first place, that could be challenged as well.
There have been other instances where sort of similar fact patterns in the Trump administration. Do you guys want to walk us through some of those?
Some of the experts that I've talked to who, you know, are from constitutional accountability groups or government oversight groups, they say that this issue with Penley reminds them of other issues that have arisen in the Trump administration, namely Ken Cuccinelli.
Today is the first day on the job for former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli,
who is the head of the U.S. Citizens and Immigration Services.
Cuccinelli has been known for his hardline stances on issues such as denying birthright citizenship. And as a state senator in Virginia, he consistently tried to deny affordable college tuition for undocumented students in the state.
There was a similar lawsuit that played out earlier this year where, you know, the administration created a new position, installed Cuccinelli in it, and then named him the first assistant to the director. A ruling in March said that was invalid.
The judge says Ken Cuccinelli was not legally eligible to serve as acting U.S. CIS director because of a decades-old law on federal vacancies.
And subsequently suspended two policies he had implemented at the time.
Those include a directive limiting access to lawyers for some asylum seekers.
And so they're not directly the same case, but people I've talked to said there's definitely similarities there, and, you know, there's definitely reasons that that case would apply to Penley as well.
Imagine a scenario where Republicans retain a very slim edge in the Senate and are really slow-walking Democratic nominees to some of these lower-tier positions. You know, the precedent that's being set right here with Penley is people can stay on indefinitely and apparently exercise these authorities. And that is just another precedent, as you said, kind of norm shattering, but also with potential implications for Republicans next time there's a Democratic administration.
It also just raises so many opportunities for outside groups to sue, like, over anything that he signs. Besides, you know, just the ethical angle of this, there's also just the operational angle of this, of what is he going to be able to accomplish that has his formal signature on it? And if nothing has his formal signature on it, how is that going to affect folks at the actual agency? Or, like, are we supposed to be doing this? I mean, if it doesn't have the boss's signature on it, you know, who's guiding this?
Also, on Thursday, Hurricane Laura made landfall in Louisiana as a Category 4 storm with strong winds that ravaged buildings and towns along the Gulf Coast. Throughout the day, the hurricane quickly weakened to a Category 1 storm, leaving far less damage than had been originally predicted, and allowing local and federal authorities to move into parts of the state to assess damage. As of Thursday afternoon, the death toll was at least 4 people, but the number could increase over the coming days. President Donald Trump said on Thursday he intends to visit the damaged region over the weekend. There was, however, a significant chlorine leak at a chemical manufacturing facility in western Louisiana. Energy Secretary Dan Brouillette said late Thursday the agency's initial assessments indicate that oil refineries in Texas and Louisiana suffered only light damage from the storm. The storm is now expected to move northeast, weakening as it makes its way to Oklahoma. Before we go, I just want to let you know that the Morning Energy newsletter will be off all of next week as Congress finishes its August break. But since Energy News doesn't stop, we'll still be putting out the podcast every weekday. And of course, you can find more energy news at politico.com/energy. Carlos Prieto is our producer. Our senior producer is Jenny Ahmed. And our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Our editor is Matt Daly. And on the show this week,
Zach Coleman,
Alex Kian,
Ben LaFave,
Kelsey Tamburino.
Thank you, and we'll be back again on Monday.
Chevron has spent over $1 billion building one of the largest integrated carbon capture and storage facilities, capable of capturing up to 4 million tons a year. Learn more at chevron.com/possibilities.